First up, the post-Christmas slump can leave us feeling a little blue after all that festivity fades away. Thankfully, University College London's Professor Sophie Scott provided some light relief from the January blues this year, giving Christmas the lowdown on what makes us laugh.
Well, it's a very interesting behaviour because if you ask human adults about it, it's something we like and we'll talk about. But we'll say that we laugh at jokes and comedy and humour. But if you actually watch us, and this was done very nicely by Robert Provine, what you find is it's a completely social behaviour. It's something we do when we're with other people. Most of laughter occurs during conversations with other people. And even then, we're hardly ever laughing at jokes. We're laughing to show that we understand people or we agree with them or we know them, we like them, we're part of the same group as them. So we're doing a huge amount of social aspects of our interaction. We're actually managing with laughter.
But when I'm actually laughing, Sophie, what's going on physiologically? What's my body doing? Because it's quite a distinct thing, isn't it, laughter? Everyone can recognise what a laugh is.
Exactly. And it's actually a very, very basic way of making a sound. So when you start laughing, what happens is the intercostal muscles and the diaphragm, which I'm using right now to produce a very finely controlled flow of air out through my larynx, and that's how we all talk. These muscles start to do very large single contractions, and that just squeezes air out of you. And you squeeze the air out under very high pressures, so you start making sounds you wouldn't normally make. But each one of those individuals ha 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 sounds literally is air just being pushed from you. You could achieve the same end by jumping up and down on someone's ribcage. It's very, very basic, and that's probably why, you know, babies can do it from a very early age. There's nothing complex to it at all.
It sounds very similar to coughing.
It is extremely similar to coughing and also, of course, to crying, weeping. So it's a very basic, very uncomplex way of making a sound. And something we don't understand is if there is a competition between talking and breathing and laughing, laughter will win. There's something about the motor control of it that overwhelms everything else. And that's why you can tell if someone's talking and they start laughing. It's absolutely unmissable in their voice.
What about the ubiquity of laughter? Do we all do it?
We do all do it. So laughter is found, in terms of the universality of it, laughter's been seems to be a basic human emotion. You don't find cultures where people never laugh. You find cultures where people laugh more and laugh less. There are cultures where public laughter can be quite impolite, but people will still laugh in private and they'll still laugh in other situations. So it seems to be, as far as we can see, a genuinely universal emotion, though it can be socially quite variable to any one extent within any one culture, how appropriate it is to laugh from minute to minute basis.
Now, when you say that it's not just us, there are these other mammals that laugh, how do we know they're laughing and what do they laugh at?
The main thing that they seem to laugh at is very common with humans. It's tickling. Tickling is what gets rats laughing, orangutans laughing, gorillas and humans. But it's also play. And all mammals play when they're infants. It's a very important mammalian behaviour. And Panksepp, who's done some very beautiful work on rat laughter, he first noticed this sound that actually when rats were playing with each other, and he wondered if that was laughter and started tickling the rats to see if it made the same sound. But he says at its heart, laughter is an invitation to play. It's kind of putting the interaction onto a playful, unthreatening, enjoyable basis. And that's a very, very useful way of managing interactions for animals. And mammals are very often highly social, so it matters to them.
Is the ability to have a sense of humour universally represented amongst humans, and also the ability to laugh in this way amongst mammals?
One thing that I would be clear is that you do need to distinguish humour from laughter, because as far as we know, all humans, to one extent or another, will show laughter. Laughter is a very, very common behaviour, although with the proviso it can go wrong in some psychiatric conditions. But that's not the same as everybody having the same kind or use of humour. And humour varies really widely across, even within a culture, based on how old you are, you'll find different stuff funny, and even all sorts of other stuff influences that. So what you find is that humour is incredibly variable and complex and plastic, and then our behaviour to it, which is often laughter, can actually be very, very familiar.
So is there a sort of humour centre in the brain which that can then activate or be activated by things like the tickling centre? So if I tickle you and you laugh, that will also elicit the same reaction as if I tickle you with a joke and you laugh.
It seems not to. So what's people have put people into scanners and they've tickled them. And what they found is that tickling laughter is associated with increased activation in the hypothalamus, which is quite an old part. You know, it's a tiny part of the brain involved in hormone release. And in contrast, if you scan people while they're listening to jokes, what you essentially get is the language system working a way to help you understand what the jokes are. So they do seem to be quite distinct. You can, that we've definitely got a hallmark of brain activation that seems to be associated with tickling, and it's different from understanding a joke.
Sophie Scott there from UCL.
Go on, Katie, what's your best joke?
Well, this isn't mine, actually. This is from the forum. So we've got our listeners to thank for this. Are you ready?
Always.
Why don't ants get sick?
I don't know. Why don't ants get sick?
Because they have tiny antibodies.
That's really awful. That's really bad.
Thank you to whoever posted that on the forum.
That was really awful. Homework for you, Katie, is better jokes for 2018.
Well, all right then. Can you do any better?
Okay. So Gold walks into a bar and is completely drunk, and the bartender shouts, "Hey, you, get out of here."
Oh, that was so poor.
Okay, well, let's move quickly on then.